This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day. Bruce Pearl, the longtime head basketball coach at Auburn, is set to retire. I kept looking to see if, like, after this season, but his son, Stephen Pearl, which is, I guess he's set to take over. He's his Tigers associate head coach, is expected to be the head coach for the upcoming season, which, Mike, they're all checking into practice this week. We're not that far away from the college basketball regular season starting up. That's interesting to me. 65 years old, took Auburn to its second ever Final Four appearance. They were the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament after winning the SEC regular season championship. He's been there for 11 years. Interesting timing. That's all I'm going to say. Now, he has been linked to, according to ESPN, a post-coaching career in politics. He's addressed it. He addressed it back in earlier this month. You know, and he said, it's certainly something I've considered. It's something I thought a great deal about. But obviously, I'm here today and I'm in practice and I've got practice tomorrow. How about that? I always read stories like that and I just wonder if something's going on with their health. But it doesn't seem like that's the case right now. So there you go. Bruce Pearl. Going to retire now, sounds like. The ACC fines Syracuse for faking injuries against Clemson. They fined him $25,000 and publicly reprimanded the school Monday for faking injuries in their 34-21 win over Clemson, which that is the story. But also, yeah, they're faking injuries. They said unethical and contrary to the spirit of the rules. The ACC, in a statement, the ACC said Syracuse violated an NCAA rule established this year aimed at stopping teams from faking injuries to slow down play. How do you know, I guess, is my only thing. Like, how do you know they're faking? I guess if you see them play, like, instantly, like, the next play or a play later, if they're lying on the ground and look like they're about to die like LeBron James does almost every other night.
That's called soccering.
LeBron does it. Like, 1 minute, it looks like he could be dead. He just might be dead. And then the very next sequence, he goes down and tomahawk dunks it and everyone cheers. And
basketball stole that from soccer.
With 9:25 left in the fourth quarter, the ACC said the action of two players and a coach were a clear attempt to gain an unmerited advantage by stopping the game in order to secure an injury timeout. Quarterback for Clemson, Clade Klubnik, accused Syracuse of faking injuries after the loss as a way to slow down the tempo. We were playing with tempo, he said, and props to them. They stood up on us. They stood us on some third downs, and then they have an injury or something like that when we really get going. That's up to them if they want to be honest about that. It's definitely tough for us to really get a rhythm. We're playing fast, and unfortunately they had a guy hurt or a timeout or something like that. Interesting. I don't know if you watched the game last night. Between the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Football Giants, the Chiefs did win that game. Still doesn't look great. But you got more drama going on with the Chiefs. And when you're winning, drama is easier to take. When you're 1-2 now, and having a tough time with the Giants, it becomes more of a story. Andy Reid and Travis Kelce were heated on the sideline, and they were yelling, and Reid kind of bumped Kelce with his left shoulder. Was that a little revenge from the Super Bowl a couple of years ago? Should Reid have been pulled from the game? Tanner Schwint, who thought Travis Kelce should have been suspended right then and there for shoving Andy Reid. Andy Reid did the same thing. Should he have disqualified himself from the game?
I think Taylor Swift should have been disqualified, and they should have removed her so no one should be able to see her ever again.
Now, that's what you got to be careful with. You start to mess with Kelce, you're going to get the Swifters. Swifters? Swifter, quicker, picker uppers?
They call them Swifties.
Ah, you would know. That was a test, and you failed, so now we know. Reid said he wasn't concerned about Kelce's attitude or choice of words. He said, I love Travis. I love his passion. I'm okay with that. We didn't have enough of it in the second quarter. It wasn't where we needed it to be. So within reason, he knows when to back off the pedal and knows when to push it too. That's the part I love about him. The guy is all in. Sometimes I have to be the policeman. He's an emotional guy. So the Chiefs win. They beat the Giants. Whatever. And then in that game, Russell Wilson, speaking of the Boo Birds, Russell Wilson booed as the New York Giants now are 0-3. Russell Wilson, man. Would you say a pretty steep decline in his career, basically, since leaving Seattle? They end up, they're chanting, we want Dart, wanting Jackson Dart. And it looks like they're probably going to get their wish. He played three snaps in place of Wilson as part of a special package designed to help in the red zone. When Wilson came back on the field, there was more of a smattering of boos, kind of like what we heard at Canvas Stadium on Saturday night. Mike, that was such a... I mean, you were pumped, right? When it was announced that the Broncos traded for Russell Wilson?
I remember being excited, not just because I was walking to my pizza place, but also because we had signed Russell Wilson. I'm like, how many Super Bowls are we going to win? And we didn't win any. As a matter of fact, we were so terrible.
Didn't
I was
go
like,
to playoffs.
Where's Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, that was a weird time in our lives. What could have been?
A lot of tears. A lot of crying. Not for me, of course. I'm a man. But
no.
I'm sure a lot of people cried.
Mr. I think the Broncos are going to win every single game. That had to be the last 10 years before last year. I think you kind of went into a pretty deep, dark depression there, Mike. I think that's fair to say.
Things got dark.
Yeah.
Things did get a little dark, especially when the Washington Huskies weren't playing well and both my football teams were awful. But the Avs were playing decent.
No, the Avs are about to start up. And I guess Gabriel Landeskog's kind of getting into the fisticuffs, and he's ready to rock and roll this year. We're not that far away from the Avs. I think we're like, 2 weeks away from the Avs starting up?
And it's going to be great to see the Broncos and hopefully the Avalanche win a championship. And the Nuggets are probably going to be good again with Jokic.
Why didn't you say they're going to win a championship? It seems a little biased on your part. It's the way you phrase that.
Well, I'm not sure if, like, you're more right. The basketball person than I am.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I would say I'm more the football person you are, too, because you think the Broncos are going to win every game. And
I have faith. I have faith that they will win because of my orange Kool-Aid.
Yes. Not really a reason necessarily why they will win, just that they will win.
They will win, yeah. Wake up on Sunday morning, I'm like, it's going to happen today.
It did not happen
win.
Yesterday.
Those Bengals are going to suck.
Yeah, the Broncos are on to Cincinnati, but before we can do that, we got to try to make sense of what we saw yesterday. Bo Nix was 14 of 25 for 153 yards and a touchdown and had a lot of misses. Had a QBR of 38.5, had a passer rating of 87.6. Mike, when do you start with, you remember that scenario I brought to you to start the season, or maybe several weeks ago, maybe before we even got in the preseason. And I said, what if the Broncos are struggling? And what if Bo Nix's numbers are exactly what we saw yesterday? That's not entering your brain yet, right? Bo Nix is the guy.
He's still the guy. I don't believe your premise. Your premise is a lie.
What if he has this game against Cincinnati? Bad defense.
Look, that's not going to happen. What
if he does?
Well, that's not what if this universe. That's an alternate universe.
But what if he? Okay, in your weird little Marvel Space Jam, whatever it is you're doing, what if he has the same kind of game against the Cincinnati Bengals? Is it Jarrett Stidham time?
Well, then we send Worf back through the fissure.
Don't know what that means. I don't know what that is. Is that Yoki or whatever Yoda?
No, that's Star Trek.
Wookie. I think I mixed Wookie and Yoda together. Star Trek, Star Wars, same exact thing. Just different movies.
Star Trek is smarter.
Well, just different movies. There's Star Wars, the new plantation, Venegation, or whatever, and there's Star Trek, the new warp tour, or whatever they're doing.
I mean, you got warp, right? That's how they travel. And NASA's trying to create warp.
Okay. When do you think about Jarrett Stidham?
If it becomes so bad, if it becomes CSU bad, because I maybe even worse, like but then you have to also criticize the play calling. Like, where's the run game?
Yeah, it's bad. Like, it's not good right now. Sean Payton has no flow.
You have like a big long. You have running backs who are like breaking away for 50 yards. Like, just we've had long runs this year, 20 yards, 50 yards, 49 yards. I don't remember the exact numbers. Like, this wasn't happening in the past. It's happening now. You have to stick with the run. Don't stick with the pass much. Stick with the run.
So after,
it's going to be successful.
After the Chargers fumbled on the kick return, shortly after the Broncos just scored a touchdown to go up in the game, 14-10, they get the field goal, 17-10. Chargers march down the field, 14 plays for 69 yards, and they get a field goal. Denver gets the ball back, and they go 3-and-out. And it's a 1-yard pass to Troy Franklin, a negative 2-yard run to R.J. Harvey, and then a 2-yard pass from Bo Nix to R.J. Harvey. They have to punt. Chargers punt again. Broncos are up 17-13 to start the fourth quarter. They do go 10. They march down the field for 10 plays, and they get a field goal 20-13. They hold the Chargers to a punt. The Broncos get the ball back, and they punt again 3 plays. Chargers go down, score a touchdown, which that was an amazing touchdown. Was that the one? That was the one, right? The Justin Herbert 20-yard touchdown pass to Keenan Allen. Riley Moss was on him. They had good defense on it. That was just Justin Herbert doing miraculous things. And then the Broncos go 3-and-out again. So you were making the stops, you had all the opportunities, and your offense just needs to try to move the ball a little bit. And you can't do it. 303 texting in. Sean Payton on the hot seat? No.
No.
Not for a while. Missed the playoffs? Is he on the hot seat?
No.
No, I don't think so either. Win 5 games? Is he on the hot seat?
No. He would be on the shaken confidence seat.
But he would be on the warm-up seat for the hot seat next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would definitely question his credibility. You would go, oh, this would be like the whole Tom Brady in New England situation. Was
it Drew
Brady
Brees,
really
was
the
it...
answer the entire time? Yeah. Was Drew Brees really the answer the entire time?
I just think Sean is I think he's a good coach. I just think he's outside of himself. I think he believes in Bo Nix to a fault right now, and he needs to ease that guy back in.
Run the ball. Run the ball.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you got to do. Big Hub says, at least you aren't a Falcons fan.
My poor MBJ.
Yeah, rough go for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got
you mean Michael
familiar
Penix
with
Jr.
the bench towards the end of the game.
Yeah. That weird weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, how about the Browns and their defense?
Yeah, Cleveland. I mean, Green Bay felt like they were world beaters for a moment, and just like that, Cleveland defensively played pretty well, and Joe Flacco leads his team to a 50-plus-yard field goal and Cleveland wins the game.
Yeah, no love for Jordan in that game.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Yeah,
Where's your panic meter? Be realistic here, Mr. It's all sunshine and rainbows and puppy kittens, puppy monkey babies for the Broncos. Is there any panic?
Did you say that because we're both drinking Mountain Dew?
I just love that commercial. I wish they bring it back. Is there any panic right now?
No. Look, the Broncos played well enough to win yesterday.
But they didn't.
The reason why they didn't win was they got to take care of the middle of the field. Like, the middle of the field is a problem.
Well,
like you're playing.
You got a couple of things right now, Mike, that are becoming something. And the middle linebacker situation, obviously, Greenlaw's out. We hardly knew ye. We don't even get to see him yet, and he's going to be out for another 4 weeks. I don't think Alex Singleton's great. I know he's around the ball a lot, but I don't think he's great. And now Riley
Moss. He's around the ball a lot because people are throwing to him.
Riley Moss is struggling. I mean, he had good coverage against Keenan Allen. That ball just, his hand was right over Keenan Allen's chest. It looked like it should have been a block, or like he should have knocked that away, a deflection. That ball was just placed in that perfect spot, and Keenan Allen made that perfect grab. Now you got the Bengals on Monday night, and we'll get into some of that, on to Cincinnati. But listen, here's the glass half full. They lost to two good teams. Colts won again yesterday. Won by 20, I think 21, over the Titans. Daniel Jones is playing some of the best early football of his career. The guy is pulling a Baker Mayfield right now. The Chargers, I believe, are a contender. So that's the glass half full. And also, you led in these games. You want to hear a funky stat, Michael? You like funky stats?
I love funky stats.
This is what I say. The Broncos are a good team. They just don't know how to win. They're just bad at winning. In the past two games, they have not trailed for a second of the fourth quarter play. Time leading against the Colts, 27, and this is the fourth quarter, 27-23. Time tied. No, this is in both games, excuse me, put together. Time leading 27 minutes and 23 seconds. Time tied 2 minutes and 37 seconds. They have not trailed in their last 2 weeks in the fourth quarter until game's over. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a good enough team that can get you there against anybody in the league. Like, I look at the Philadelphia Eagles game. I don't think that's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a close game. I don't know that Denver can pull it off, though. And that's the difference in the NFL. This isn't college. The difference between great teams and bad teams is usually not a huge, monster, major difference. Kind of like Bo Nix's passes right now. The difference between a great quarterback and a good quarterback is the guy that can make those throws and complete those long passes and then get it in the fingertip catch, whatever, they get it there. The timing, all of it. The touch, the knowing your receiver's speed, like those are all things that a quarterback has to know. And right now, they're just off by a little bit. And that does lead me to think this team is going to be okay. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if this team maybe wins 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I wouldn't be shocked if Denver wins 6 out of the next 7 games. And you know what? You can add the Chiefs to that. That's 8 games. The Broncos could realistically go 7-1 in these next 8 games. And I'm looking at the Eagles thinking that might be the most difficult at Philadelphia, obviously. The Eagles needed a couple of blocked field goals to secure a win against the Rams. There's just a few. The penalties are bad right now. I mean, that looks really bad.
Well, especially the sloppiness of it.
Yeah,
there's sloppy penalties.
Right. I mean, the Broncos were penalized 10 times for 90 yards.
I can understand, like, in the field of play, like, you get a little pass interference. That I can understand. But, like, you get that personal foul, the lining up offsides, quote, offsides. That's ridiculous.
Wow, Dixon making a rare sighting here. Haven't heard from Dixon, the arch nemesis of the show. It's been a while. Where have you been, man? You're quiet until the Chiefs finally win? That's not his music. That's Flying Dutchman's music. You'll get there, though, Mike. You'll get there. When will Denver beat a good team? Even last year, they only beat one decent team. It won't happen this coming Monday because I believe the Broncos should beat the Bengals. Will it be on October 5th against the Philadelphia Eagles? That was the one I thought would be a true test. Listen, I figured the Broncos would be 2-1 right now. I think most of us did. Or a lot of us did. So they're not that far off right now, but you got must-win time against the Bengals. Like, don't like to throw that around, but you can't be 1-3 going to Philadelphia.
Every game is must-win.
No,
and I don't think we expected the defense to have some holes in it, and I don't think we expected the Colts to be this good. Good Lord.
The Colts are good. I think the Colts are a good team. Now Denver has to learn how to win. They can compete with anybody. I think Denver can compete with anybody in the league.
Broncos lost this game. San Diego played LA played really well. The Broncos, I think, beat themselves. I think the Broncos lost this game.
They did.
Rather than the Chargers beating them.
Yeah, he's got to get a couple first downs. And this thing's over. 26 minutes after the hour. Mike, do we want to do our trivia question here? Our Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question of the day. First one of the week. And we're gonna lock you in so you could potentially win the $20 gift certificate on Friday. And then be in the mix for the big prize, the $100 gift certificate and the signed jersey. How many times, it's a Bengals-Broncos question here. How many times did the Cincinnati Bengals beat the John Elway-led Broncos? How many times did the Bengals beat a Broncos team when John Elway was the starting quarterback? Call right now on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. How many times did the Bengals beat the John Elway-led Broncos in the history of that matchup?
84 through 98.
84 through 98. How many times did the Bengals beat the Broncos when John Elway was the starting quarterback? 1227 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Lemons Heating and Cooling, the season is changing. Make sure your heater is ready to go. Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor here in Greeley. They'll service Weld and Larimer County. I know I'm in Larimer County, and they hooked me up on both. I needed the AC. I needed the heater. They're the ones. You're seeing their vehicles everywhere. That's because everyone's getting the message. And good news spreads fast. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Coming up next, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs get it done against the Cowboys. We got a little interesting there for a moment. Just for a moment. And we'll see what Mark has to say about that, about the game, about Caden Salter. Looks like the real deal to me, but what was it? Why? I mean, that kind of play against a pretty good defense in the Wyoming Cowboys, that's who this dude is. But started Staub against Houston and didn't really give him a long shot against Delaware. Was there more to the story? We'll talk to Mark about that coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Just 38 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. And Mark, the Buffs took care of business. They win 37-20. Caden Salter, Mark, that's my style of quarterback. I just love watching dudes run all over the place. But he was passing all over the place, too. 300 yards passing, almost 100 yards rushing. I mean, that's the guy we were hoping we'd see. Your thoughts on the 37-20 win over the Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we talked about it quite a bit on the pregame show, wondering about, we do a little segment, in fact, called What to Watch. And that was my what to watch is, okay, how Caden Salter is going to respond. I mean, here's a guy that's been a four-year starter at Liberty, comes here, supposed to be the gap guy, right? He'd fill that quarterback position while Juju was learning. And then, you know, next year when he graduates and moves on, Juju kind of takes over. And here he gets benched in the middle of his second game. And so, you know, that could be a tough thing. How's he going to respond to that? And I thought he responded very well, looked very sharp. I thought the first game and a half, first six quarters that he played, Brady, I thought we looked at a guy that was playing hesitant. I thought he looked like he was thinking too much, and he was, you know, trying to play the way I think they want me to play instead of playing the way that the good Lord made him. And I thought we saw a guy that played very loose and was, you know, very effective in what he did. Wasn't perfect, but was pretty darn effective in what he did in that ball game, and I want to see more moving forward now.
Mark, I mean, I know you have your coach's show with Coach Prime. You talk to Coach Prime throughout the week. Was there more to it than just play on the field that Coach Prime wanted to see? I know he's talked a little bit about leadership and all of that. Was this more of a, hey, we need you to not only be this guy on the field, but we need you to be this guy off the field and in the locker room, too?
Well, I think there's some of that as well. You know, and when Prime and I were talking this past Thursday, I said, you know, there's a lot of guys around here that saw it done the right way the last two seasons with Shadur. And, you know, Prime and I got into a conversation about team ownership last Thursday and what that looks like. Is it a player-led team or is it coaches-led team? Now, your listeners maybe say, well, wait a minute, all teams are coaches-led. No, no, not all of them. That's not true. Coaches coach, and, yeah, they set parameters and all these kind of things, but if a coaching staff has to lead a team, if they've got to be the driving impetus behind it, that's not a good thing. Player-led teams are always the best teams because that means there's ownership. That means guys are leading. Well, you think the last couple of years, Brady, Shadur primarily, but, you know, Shiloh and then Travis Hunter were such dominant human beings. And Cameron Still and Craig, and, you know, Gary and I got talking about that in the broadcast the other night. Number seven for the Buffs a year ago was, I think, as important to that team as anybody because of the way he was in the locker room and how he led that team. Well, you take all those dominant personalities off this team, you bring in a bunch of new guys from the transfer portal, and all of a sudden, how do you become a leader right away? And so I think it was about leadership as well. How are you conducting yourself? What kind of example are you setting? Are you the first guy there and the last guy to leave? Are you studying, you know, the film on the iPad more than anybody else? All those different things that Shadur did in that locker room, I think is what Prime was getting at. Yes, there's the play on the field. That's supremely important. That ultimately has to be what sets you apart. But you have to be a player-led team. I'll tell you a great story. Jeff Bozdilek told me a wonderful story years ago when he was the coach at CU on the basketball side. He was an assistant coach with Pat Riley at the Miami Heat. And he told me the name. I won't say the name. There was a young player. There was a rookie they brought in who is highly regarded and became a real problem. And he said, we were trying to figure out what to do about it. And one day, Pat Riley and I are walking through, he says, walking through the locker room. We open the door, and as we open the door, we hear, I mean, cussing and screaming and swearing like crazy. And we look around the corner, and Alonzo Mourning, the outstanding center, had this young man by the throat. He was holding him against the wall, and Riley turned around and looked at Bozdilek and said, let's leave. And they walked out, and when the door shut, Pat looked at Jeff and he said, we're not going to have this issue anymore. Right?
Wow.
Because ownership, team ownership, veteran players, guys that were high-level guys, they set the tone. They police a locker room. And so I think, you know, that position, the quarterback position, lends itself to that. Right? Peyton Manning was that way. Tom Brady was that way. Go on, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure, is that way with Kansas City. You have to be that guy. And so I think all of that was being impressed upon Caden Salter. And secondarily to Julian Lewis then, hey, listen, you're next in line here, young man. This is what you have to be. You've got to step up and be this kind of guy, this kind of personality, and this kind of presence in the locker room. So I think it was about all that stuff.
It's really interesting. And honestly, you know, because again, we hear quarterback change, and then I'm going, oh man, what is this going to stop? I thought Salter was the solution. I thought, you know, if it's not him, you're going to go early with Juju there. So I didn't like it. You know, you look at that and go, wow, you're going to go with your third string dude who wasn't really plan A or plan B. But then listening to you talk, and I heard the coach's show last week and some of the comments that we talked about that with Brian Howell on Friday. All that stuff actually makes me, you know, kind of go back and say, wow, Coach Prime pressed the right button there. That was kind of a big coaching decision throughout this two-week process.
Yeah, and you never know how that's going to turn out, right? I mean, what if you really challenge a guy like this and he doesn't have that mental and emotional makeup and you send him going the other direction? Okay, now you really got a problem, okay? And so, you know, there's some, I think there's a little bit of, you know, shall we say, uncertainty when you go into those types of situations, but it appears to have worked out. And, you know, let's see moving forward. Now, this isn't as simple as just, okay, you got benched, you came back, you played well, now we move on. You know, I guarantee you internally, whether it comes from Prime or it comes from Pat Shurmur or, you know, Brian Leftwich's influence that he's had on this team as a quarterback coach and helping out the offense, whatever it is, those guys are going to continue to preach to him this message because, you know, you don't, what's the old line about it, you know, Tiger doesn't change his stripes, right? And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. And so I guarantee you they'll continue kind of pushing the buttons here to try and make sure that this continues for the, you know, what are we now? We're four games in, so remaining eight-plus games of the season.
Yeah, it's flying by. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. This game was, it was never really in doubt. You know, get, you know, first quarter, 0-0, but the Buffs end up going up pretty big. And then Wyoming kind of made it interesting. They started putting some points on the board. Is that just, a Buffs team at this stage? Like, you know, again, what we saw with the Broncos yesterday, they're not really at that stage where they can just put a team completely away. And then they did. They had that final drive, which I was listening to you guys late in that one on my way back from the Rams game. And you guys were kind of talking about, you know, just run this clock out. If you happen to score, great, but get that clock down, leave no doubt. Well, they go ahead and score another touchdown just for good measure.
Yeah. Well, and that's that was the first thing that Prime said in his post-game press conference was I like the fact we won. I didn't like the fact the way we kind of handled business down the stretch. And, you know, I think that's always a fine line that you walk, right? Because, listen, the other team's got pride. They've got a lot of great players. They've got great coaches. They've got game planning. They're coming out and giving effort and on and on and on. And so Wyoming, I expected nothing less from them but to stick around and continue to battle and do whatever they could. And then the Buffs, you know, kind of got a little lackadaisical there in the second half and kind of let Wyoming back into it. And so that's part of the process. It's something that this team's going to have to work on. Great teams will keep their foot on the gas and got to push through the finish line like you're supposed to. And so, yeah, that's something to be concerned about because, if you're doing that in a conference game, chances are you got a good chance of getting yourself beat, right? And look what we've seen. Look what that Broncos game yesterday. By the way, interesting note, how about the fact that Broncos lose two games in a row and have not trailed in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
How about that?
Isn't that wild?
Isn't that a crazy number?
No, Mark, I'm saying it. They're a good team. They're just bad at winning.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. There's, and then you're supposed to have one of the top defenses in the country, or the NFL, rather, and then you allow another team to kind of drive down on that last possession. I mean, yeah, that thing, that there was some, I was looking at that in disbelief yesterday. And then what happened late in the CSU game, holy cow.
Hey, Mark, what would you have done? And that's like I'm saying, you know, they kicked the extra point, yep. And then there was offsides on the defense. Just in that situation, especially with how the offense was not doing much of anything, even though they made a quarterback change, I don't like taking points off the board.
Well, and I'll tell you what, we're in a commercial break when we find that out because I think they kicked the point, and somebody in the booth, our producer, somebody flashed the score at me, and I say, hey, the Rams just tied it up, and kind of gave the score update. We go to the break, and middle of the break, somebody goes, holy crap, there was a defensive penalty, and Jay Norvell chose to pull the point off the board and go for two and wasn't successful. And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. I go, yeah, boy, pulling points off the board. And I look at Gary, right? I mean, he's the guy I'm going to look to.
Yeah, sure.
And who's been in those situations, and he says, I know that's what is kind of the old, you know, line that we all use. You never take points off the board. But he said, if you're going to be a football team, you got to be able to get a yard and a half. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I get that. However, you're at home and all these different things. And, you know, I understand, you know, that old line that, you know, on the road, you know, you go ahead and go for the win because you're in a bad situation, a hostile, and on and on and on. And I'm just one of those that, you know, holy crap, man, you pull the point off the board. Because what you did, you made it an automatic win-lose situation.
Right. Yeah.
Instead of at home, and I know Jay and like him very, very much. You know, I've had some conversation, done some things together over the years. But you take it off and you make it an automatic win-lose situation at home where you got a friendly crowd. Instead of, okay, let's just take it overtime, we kind of reset, you know, first and 10 for the 25, and we go into the whole process of college football overtime, and you get a chance, you know, with your friendly crowd and all that to get yourself a win. And so, you know, I understand you got all those crazy situations, and you're making split-second decisions, but in my view, you go to overtime and try and win it that way.
If it was like 30-29 and the points were, you know, they were at a premium, then maybe something's different there. But, I mean, we're talking 17-16. Mark, always appreciate you. You got a big stretch coming up, my friend. BYU, TCU, Iowa State.
All ranked.
Yikes. Yep. Tough battle for sure, but hey, Caden Salter. It was not fun watching a lot of these quarterbacks in our coverage map, but Caden Salter gives me hope. So I like watching him play, Mark. So
now,
keep
I
up.
It's a tough stretch, but hey, you want to play big boy football, you got to play big boy schedules. That's what's coming up.
All right, another late night for you, man. So drink that coffee, Mark. Keep that voice going.
I certainly will. All right, talk to you next week.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
From preps to college to the pros. We have your football on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo beat writer for the Buffalo. You are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, I really like Micah.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.